You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, the one and only Tony Casillas. It's Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. After somebody was spending last week off vacationing, we are back. TC, what up?
I'm doing good. You ever heard the old saying that you need a vacation from the vacation?
Oh yeah, I've been there. Is that how you're feeling right now?
Well, I'm back. I guess I'm back to normal. I got back last week, and as you alluded to, went to Mexico to celebrate my twin's 21st birthday. And only you can imagine what 21-year-olds like to do and have a great time. And it was a great time. But when I got back, I'm like, okay, I don't have the curse of Montezuma, which is good because the last time I went to Mexico, I had that. I know, TMI, too much information. But after that, I was like, okay, I just had to rest up a little bit. But I'm back to normal now. And I'm thanks for asking me about that.
Yeah, I actually, when I was seeing all the photos you were sharing on social media, I had a thought, I don't want to say made me feel old, but just made me feel a certain type of way.
Wait a second. Made you feel old.
I mean, I turned 21 10 years ago. So, I mean, you know, it puts a little bit in perspective. But
But
the thought I had was we started this show 3 years ago in 2018. And so the thought was like, man, I remember back when we were doing this show, Tony was talking about them getting ready to go off to college and everything. And now, you know what I mean? Like now they're turning 21. Like before, you know, we're going to blink. It's going to be graduation time. They're going to be out in corporate America, getting their own jobs, and they're going to be taking you on vacations with their own money. I mean,
off the payroll. And look, that's all good. And back to you, the notion of us starting a show, it's hard to believe it's been 3 years. I'm just glad that we're able to continue doing this and having so much fun doing it. But yeah, that kind of puts it in perspective. I have not thought about that, but just this thing about when kids are 21, 3, 4, 5 year increments is a lot of difference, a big change in those years.
Totally. Well, we are going to get into some Cowboys players that we think need to have a big 2021 shortly. But before we do, something else I saw you post about, Tony, was a jersey that you were pretty pumped to get on Monday.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I have an opportunity and very fortunate to get invited to play in a lot of golf tournaments, charity golf tournaments. And Jermichael Finley, people remember him, the tight end for the Green Bay Packers, had his charity golf tournament, which supports his organization, Elevate You. And the thing about it, though, RJ, is it's always nice to be able to play with great guys, right? I mean, you're going to spend 5 hours. I'm sure you played in a golf tournament, charity golf tournament. It's not a short thing, okay? You got to be out there and spend some time. And oh, by the way, the weather was nice yesterday. It's actually a cold front moved in, so it wasn't ungodly hot. So to make a long story short, you know, they always have silent auction items and so forth. And so I see all this, you know, Jermichael, Jermichael went to the University of Texas. So I see all these orange shirts. I'm like, you know, considering my allegiance, though, you may have this pass on those. But then I saw arguably the greatest Cowboy of all time, Roger Staubach, his jersey. And, you know, you go up and it has all these bids. And so there was one bid on there and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to bid a little higher.
Yeah. Raise the price, get more money for charity. Sure.
Right. So it's all about raising money, as you mentioned. And I put, you know, my price on there and I left because the tournament was, it's a long drive from my house. And so I didn't even think about it because my bid was pretty, was pretty moderate considering whose jersey it is, you know.
Sure.
Roger Staubach. I'm like, you know, there's no chance. Mm-hmm. No chance. I'm going to, you know. And so I left. And the guy that I play golf with, which is a great dude, Jared, he sent me a text message. Oh, by the way, I picked up your jersey. I'm like, what? And I was like just psyched up because, I, what I bought it for, I mean, it wasn't cheap, but, you know, I thought it would go for a lot more. And so I got my Roger Staubach jersey autographed in a silent auction. And I was just, man, I was just like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I've always wanted to collect. I got Troy's. I got Roger's now, thanks mm-hmm. to Jared, who picked it up and was so grateful for buying it for me. I'm like, dude, I must have been on point that day with my bullshit stories and everything else that goes. Oh, sorry, did I say that?
It's okay.
It's okay.
That's why they make it explicit. More. That's why they make an explicit tag. You're fine.
Yeah, and so it kind of adds to the story. And I'm like, no, there's no way. You're both BSing me. So he ended up buying me the shirt. Very successful businessman, and he's going to mail it to me, and I'm going to have the great Roger Staubach's autographed jersey. So maybe next time we do our show, behind me I have my jersey, but hopefully if I can get it in time, have it framed, it'll be behind my desk, and maybe you could see it next time. So have Roger Staubach MB.
That is the coolest thing ever. And I think like what makes it cool is that, you know, you have your own jersey, but like, you're super psyched to get Roger Staubach's jersey. It puts in perspective, like how incredible Roger Staubach is. You mentioned you have Troy's. Was that as cool of a story, or did you just ask Troy to sign it? Like what went down with getting Troy's?
You know, I think over time, I really think you just kind of take it for granted, all the stuff you have. And it's like, you've had it for years and years. And
right.
It's almost like where you put it, you put it up in the attic. And, you know, I was up in my attic yesterday, and, you know, Troy's jersey, I haven't framed it. So now this kind of gives me more,
you gotta get busy.
Inspiration. Yeah. And so, so that'll be, one thing I will have framed, but I just think I'm not the guy. I mean, a lot of guys, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. The generation, the modern day player that you notice, that they collect jerseys and they get them after the game and sign them and everything else. And so the thing about it, you better have a big ass house to be able to put them if you're going to put them in frames. Right.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to collect like 20 of them. But now I think the Roger Staubach kind of inspired me to do that more often and just do it now, rather than later, to hang them and put them somewhere kind of special.
That's awesome. Well, very cool story. Very excited to see the Roger Staubach jersey. Glad you walked away with it. Shout out to Jared.
Which real quick, I mean, what is arguably the most loved, greatest Cowboy of all time? I think we all have this, but off the top of your mind, who do you think of?
It's Roger. I mean, like, okay. if you're talking about the most beloved, most adored, you know, most revered, it's Roger. I think
pretty much a slam dunk, right?
Right. And then I certainly think I could speak for the fan, but who do you think is number two? Because I think the fan has an answer, like the average fan.
Well, I think that the name is synonymous with kind of like Roger. I would have to say Bob Lilly. I don't know much people, and maybe that's for an older generation. They have the Bob Lilly. But I think for me, when I think of the second all-time greatest player, it would be the Bob Lilly, or, man, that's such a great question. And people will get mad, but I'm a little biased, but maybe Emmitt or maybe Troy. I mean, when you look at the Mount Rushmore for players,
people hold on to the record. Like
you're right. Yeah.
Like every one of y'all's teammates obviously is a part of the group and everybody loves those teams, but like Emmitt has the record, which just kind of like endears him to a lot of other people.
Great point.
Everybody has you have your seasonal favorites, right? Like mm-hmm. Irvin can be really funny sometimes. And like, there's moments where you're like, man, I love that dude. You know what I mean? Like so everybody has different times, but it's generally Roger Emmitt, I think, is like, you know, people's like all time favorite. But okay. So Cowboys need to have a big season in 2021. if the team really wants to achieve what they ultimately want to achieve, which is to be a bunch of guys that 30, 40 years from now have people buying their autographed jerseys at charity golf tournaments. and so I have a list of five, Tony. I wrote about these at bloggingtheboys.com. Anybody who wants to check them out. And I broke them down into three categories. Not that you necessarily did this, but my first category is called the obvious. And I can give them to you. You can guess. How do you want to go about this? Do you want to give me one of yours? This is your deal. You pick.
Let's go obvious, because I think we're probably, I think most people are probably on the same plane that you're thinking. So I'll go with number one. You go with number one.
Well, I had two under the obvious category, and it's Dak Prescott. And this one might be a little bit surprising, but Amari Cooper. And the reasons are obviously obvious. You know, this is a quarterback's game. And like, that's just like one level to this. It's a quarterback's game, quarterback's league. So your quarterback has to have success if you are going to have success as a team. I know Dak Prescott was putting up some gaudy numbers last season, obviously, before he got hurt. I've said many times, I don't think that those were sustainable. A lot of people love to say like, oh yeah, you know, Dak was going to throw for 6,000 yards. I did not necessarily think that was going to happen at the time, but you know, ultimately we obviously didn't get to see what unfolded. But beyond the fact that it's a quarterback game, it's quarterback league, Dak Prescott got the contract. I mean, so now you've got to answer to that. And he is, and this is a good thing, but he is the unquestioned face of the team, right? Like, I have loved hearing how every player who's coming back from some sort of injury has said that they've been inspired by Dak and his rehab process. And so, I mean, he is the pulse of that locker room. And so the further he goes, the further he will carry them all. And then Amari was just kind of an extension of that for me, because we talk so much about how this wide receiver group is one of the best in the NFL. And Amari's the best of that group. And so Amari has to, I mean, and he generally does this. He has to go off. He has to justify being a top wide receiver in the National Football League. And what's more is the Cowboys could, if they wanted to, move on from Amari next offseason and re-sign Michael Gallup. So there's a lot hanging in the balance.
Yeah, I think that my number one, and I look at the you know, the obvious, I think it's got to be Zeke. I think he has to come back and I think last year, the expectations for him to carry the team, and I think in his own admission, I don't think that it was his best year, obviously, when you look at his numbers. To me, it looked to me like he was a lot heavier, wasn't moving as quick and as fast. And again, you get a lot of that tread starts to wear off when you've been carrying the most of the load when it comes to running the football. And so I think he really needs to, and it looks like, kind of reinvent himself, if that makes even any sense, because the guy has been tremendous. So I think that that's my obvious with Zeke, regardless of, you know, who's playing offensive line. I think their offensive line would be better because they're healthier. But I think Zeke, to me, is my number one guy, the most obvious, that has to have a better year.
So a bit of a spoiler for Blog and the Boys listeners. On Wednesdays, we have an episode here on the network called the NFC's Mixtape, where myself and Brandon Gotten from Bleeding Green Nation, we talk about the state of the NFC East. And we actually had to record this week's episode early because BLG is out on vacation. And so that will come out tomorrow on Wednesday. But we talked about the most overrated players in the division. And we each suggested one offensive and one defensive player for every team. And the offensive player I suggested for the Cowboys was Zeke, just because, mm-hmm. I mean, he's overrated at this point. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm not trying to, like, you know, and so people are going to hear that. So I don't want people to think that, like, I'm just like bagging on Zeke. I just don't think that his success, whatever success he might have, moves the team or is as pivotal to moving the team as Dak, as Amari. I agree with you. It's certainly important. But I mean, I've said this before, but if we ranked, you know, the starting 11 offensive players for the Cowboys, if we ranked them in terms of their importance to the team's overall success, I don't know that Zeke is like in the top nine. I mean, he's so dependent on everything else that it's hard to kind of put him up there for me.
Well, and then also you got to look at Tony Pollard too. I think Zeke is, again, he's down more down on the incline now than or decline than he is when you look at him his first couple of years in the league, and whether that's fair or not, I just think that the thing that goes along with the running back is that you paid him a lot of money, and I think the expectations, and I think people kind of have to get off that, because I think that when you look at what the what the offense, what it means to have a really good running back. Yeah, you have to have a really solid running back. But the first year, I think people just they remember his first 2 years in the league. It's like, man, this dude is amazing. You know, the offensive line was intact. I mean, they were just blowing guys off the line, and Zeke was running hard and just very. And I think that as he gets into the league, I think you realize that, look, I don't – that style of getting hit and just running hard and taking the bulk of the blows of the, you know, the tackling and everything else, it starts to wear you down. So I think now – I think then that's the whole thing. But I think it's a valid point, but I still think that he has to be a big part of this offense, because you got to remember, when you look at yards per carry, if a guy that's averaging almost 5 yards per carry, RJ, how symbolic is that to your offense? And Zeke wasn't getting that. And I think even and I'm not even really put. I think Dak will be good. And I think that it's going to be your quarterback's going to be great. But I'm not worried about Dak as much as I'm worried about Zeke and a couple other positions on the offensive side, because I think Dak's going to be fine, because all those guys that he has, the weaponry he has, I think he will be a really, really – I just feel like this year, upcoming 2020, is going to be one of Dak Prescott's best years in the National Football League, coming off of a would-be, for some people, a career-ending injury.
I think so. I mean, I'm not trying to doubt Dak. I'm just saying I think that is going to be necessary for the team. You know, if Dak doesn't have a big year, I don't see the Cowboys having a big year. And that's kind of where I'm coming from with Zeke. Like, I could totally see the team
successful. Yeah, right.
Like, I can see the team being successful even if Zeke doesn't have, like, this career year. You mentioned 5 yards per carry. That's what made Zeke so special, obviously, in 2016. 5.1 yards per attempt. But since then, from 2017 to now, 4.1, 4.7, 4.5. Last year, a career low 4 yards per carry, which is respectable, certainly. But I mean, you know, he's being compared to himself and his rookie self, which is so difficult to kind of measure up to. But 4 yards per carry is nothing to be like the guy, you know, to be clear here. Last year in 15 games, carried the ball 244 times, 979 yards, 6 touchdowns. And again, 4 yards per carry, like not, you know, the guy isn't trash. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But you know, and I guess to your point, like if you're looking at it through the lens of Zeke, if Zeke wants to be around for a long time, he really does have to have a big year, because at this point, like if he has just another so-so year, he's no longer this. I mean, I don't think he is anymore, but he's no longer this special running back. He's just another runner. And at that point, you can go get another runner like a Tony Pollard or whatever the case may be. But OK, who else do you have, Tony? Who else do you think needs to have a big season for the Cowboys this year?
You know, I look on the when I stay on the offensive side of the ball, I think the most obvious is their center, Bidash. I mean, he is, you know, to me, I think that was a position where you lose someone like Travis Frederick, you know, future Hall of Famer, and all of a sudden you got to replace someone like that. And I think he struggled last year, I mean, as a rookie in 2020. Those are the growing pains. Okay. And I think, there was times when he struggled with the, you know, penetration and pass rush, and kind of rightly so. And I think for me, for him, for this team, really offensively, to have a lot of confidence, because I know the heart and soul of attacking an offense is in the interior part. And I think it'd do so much disruption. And I think that's a position that, again, that's a hard shoes to follow when you have someone like Travis Frederick. But I think this kid has showed a lot of promise. He got injured last year. But I think what he has done has showed me that he's got that Wisconsin blood in him, man. He's got that offensive bloodline blood in him. And I think if he really, for this offense and really be consistent, really do what they want to do, and especially your quarterback and being able to be the play caller, Colin Blitz is an offensive lineman. I think that position right there is critical, and it's really, you can't really go around that. I think a lot, you know, you could double down and, you know, you're running blitzes and getting upfield, you know, a lot of people having success and getting, you know, different, you know, different levels of their defense and being able to create disruption. But I think that for him, he's going to have to really be is going to have to progress. And if he progresses, I think this offense will be more consistent with some of the things that they need to do that obviously they weren't able to do last year due to injuries and youth.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So I just want to say, nobody except Tony could see this, but I'm fighting an allergy attack in the middle of this show. I'm today's MVP, if I'm being honest. My allergies have been ridiculous as of late, and the mute button has been my friend today.
Can I say this? Have you ever like tried to hold your sneeze in so much that you almost like blew out one of your vertebrae in your back?
Dude, the worst thing to me, because I've been there, but the worst thing is when you like hold your sneeze when you can't sneeze for whatever reason, and then it's gone, right? Like you feel like I still need to sneeze, but like the sneeze went away. So that's a terrible feeling.
Well, how about the people that sneeze like this? They don't make a sound.
Yeah.
My
wife's a quiet sneezer.
Let's pull back the curtain a little bit.
Right. But no.
Well, I expect that from a female from that gender. But I'm just saying. I'm just anyway. The game of sneezing, man, is totally it's underrated. It really is.
So if I sound cloudy, it's because my whole face is just under attack. But I agree. Tyler Biadasz certainly. You can make an argument that like he probably has to take the largest leap of anybody, just because like he was okay last year, but he really has to, if this team is going to sort of fire on all cylinders, he has to really become what the expectation of him was as a rookie, even though he was a fourth round pick. But a lot of people, to your point, did obviously draw the comparisons to Travis Frederick and whatnot. It's interesting. We went about this exercise a little bit differently because I leaned on kind of like, I'm like, if we're talking about guys, we need to have big seasons. I'm leaning on my studs because I need my studs to really go off this year if this season is going to be successful. And so I mentioned I had categories. The slightly less obvious was what I so brilliantly dubbed this category, were Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins. And Tyron is in a little bit of a different space.
Yeah.
Because I don't expect Tyron to stay healthy for the whole season, and that's not being negative. That's just facing facts. He hasn't played a whole season since 2015, and those were 16-game seasons. I mean, now we're adding a game. It's unlikely. But Tyron has kind of, I don't want to say earned the right, but he's put in the time to where you understand that. I think Lyle Collins really has to kind of earn some favor back with Cowboys fans. Cowboys fans were really pissed off at Lyle Collins last year for missing the whole season. And so, I mean, if anybody's going to come back with authority, it might be Lyle. And I mean, ultimately, these guys are needed because we've already mentioned, outside of Tyler Biadasz, we've mentioned Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. If these guys are going to ultimately have the success that we're envisioning for them, I mean, the offensive line has to be stable. We know that this group is no longer among the very, very, very best in the National Football League. But if Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins can be serviceable for them, you know, serviceable in, you know, as far as how good they are, then things are going to be okay. And like the interior will, I don't want to say take care of itself, but it's a lot easier to be Tyler Biadasz when you have Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins outside. And you know, the pressure isn't coming as hot as it was at different times last season. And so, but I think they all have to have big seasons. I think Tyler Biadasz is a great inclusion.
I think we have to look at that as that's more of a health factor because, you know, Lyle Collins signed the contract before last year's season, I believe it was. And it was just a screwy season when it came to the health. And so I think I'm not worried about those two guys. If they're healthy, they're going to ball. Okay. And that's all. That's the concern that I would have for those two guys. And I don't know. I don't know what type of level they'll play because, again, it's another year under the belt. You know, Tyron, I mean, he is a phenomenal player when he's healthy. And it's said that he's in the best shape of his life. So hopefully we'll just believe the big fella. And if he's able to sustain, I'm not concerned with him because he's a smart. He's been in the league a long time. He knows what to do. But those are the given things of being healthy. And another guy that I really think that's really going to have a big year that got injured last year is Blake Jarwin. I think that he can be a huge factor in this offense. I think that there's a lot of weapons. I think that he is a guy that was, you know, the needle was pointing to really big things happening and he sustained the injury. I think he's a guy that's going to have to continue to elevate, continue to get better and progress. And I like him to have a really great sound tight end in the National Football League. And he showed that. I think he's going to be a big impact for this offense.
Yeah, he does kind of feel like the forgotten man in a lot of ways. Like people, and that's, you know, the Cowboys had so many people who were injured last year that there are so many to be excited about returning and being healthy. But I think a lot of it too was that Dalton Schultz played so well in his stead that a lot of people were just kind of like, well, you know, the Cowboys kind of figured this out, so no big deal. Dalton's a better blocker than Blake Jarwin is, and that's an important, you know, component to being a tight end. Jarwin is an athlete, and I think, you know, serves as a different weapon in the passing game. I think having both of them is really the more interesting overall wrinkle for me. Last year we talked so much about how, you know, they should never play out of anything other than 11 personnel because of, you know, having drafted CeeDee Lamb. But, you know, I'm not advocating for 12 personnel, but if you have two tight ends that you can rely on, and Dalton Schultz obviously puts you there, I mean, it gives you more options at least for Kellen Moore, and that's certainly nice. So look at that, Blake Jarwin getting a shout out on the 750.
Well, yeah, I just think that if we looked and we did it in order, I mean, there's obviously the obvious players, one Zeke, and then I'm going to go. Can we include coaches part of our?
You can. I mean, we didn't specify any rules, but you could put Mike McCarthy on there.
Dan Quinn.
Oh, okay.
It, to me, is going to be the X factor. I am so enticed on what this defense is going to look like with his type of philosophy, his just presence, and how these guys react to him. And I know that he doesn't play the game, but if he creates a lot of playmakers and gives them opportunities. So when I look at, obviously, the obvious on for me is on the defensive side of the ball is, you know, Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, 1 and 1A. Those guys have got to play better, without a doubt. I mean, the linebacker position. And then if I'll go ahead and go my third player, I said this before, and I'm kind of in between on which guy I'm going with. But I think Trayvon Diggs has got to really – he's got to catapult and really progress his second year. And then Neville Gallimore and Tristan Hill. I mean, those are two cats right there. And then throw in – I'm just going to keep going because I'm on a roll. I'm going to go with Randy Gregory, and then DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence has got to – I mean, I don't know. There's so many – I said 10 before we started our show, but, I mean, it's just – there's a lot of guys that have to really step up, and that's maybe not a good thing.
So, I mean, you're right.
It's a multiple choice of different cats that have better years.
So I want to talk about Trayvon last, cause he's the one I have the most thoughts on. but DeMarcus Lawrence, of all the people we've talked about on, at least on the defensive side of the ball, has done it before. So, I mean, like you said, you're not worried about, you know, Lyle or Tyron. I'm not worried about DeMarcus Lawrence. I trust that, you know, the production will be there. And so that's just kind of a taken care of thing in my mind. Randy Gregory, I maintain that what you're getting on the field with Randy at this point is just icing on the cake because his career has been so unique. And it's great to see him, you know, experiencing personal growth. And that's obviously the most important thing. And we're rooting for him in every sense. But I mean, I just don't know. Like, it's so hard to really know what to expect because, I mean, you know, Mike McCarthy said this a couple of weeks ago. This is like the first offseason that he's been able to be around the team. You
Isn't
know,
that crazy?
Since his rookie year.
Is this like his 10th year in the league?
Well, it's his sixth. But like,
it seems like it's been forever.
So, I mean, like, I'm not trying to say, like, I don't believe in Randy Gregory as a football player, but it's just there's no precedent for this. There's no way. There's nobody you can look to and say, well, that person after this did that, whatever. Like, so I really view Randy as icing on the cake. And I think that that's fair. Like, and so whatever he pulls off is just, it's great. And I'm excited about that. I think Tristan Hill and Neville Gallimore are in an interesting spot. Just because Tristan, you know, Tristan gets bagged on. I've said this before. We've talked about it. I thought Tristan was playing really well, or at least really well compared to his rookie season last year before he got hurt. Neville Gallimore was put into some, I don't say compromising, but some tough situations for a rookie. Really started to kind of hold his own though down the stretch. So I think that that growth will be there. And certainly, I mean, that's necessary. I mean, this team has been so bad along the interior forever now. If they can get better, I think Brent Urban will kind of help fortify that. They'll have a nice mix of dudes. But you also mentioned Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. And I don't like disagree with you that they need to be better, but I don't think them being good is like vital for the team's success because
that's a good point because of who they have now.
Yeah. They hedged their bet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like not just in Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox, but in Keanu Neal. And so believe me, I don't want Jalen or Leighton to play poorly, but if they do, they have options at least. Like that hasn't been the case before. And so while it would be awesome if they played well and if, you know, them playing well made things difficult for the coaching staff to kind of figure out who to use and whatnot, that would be a really good problem to have. But I don't know.
But let's say this, RJ. Let's say we go back to their first 2 years in the league and they get that type of production.
Right.
I think that that's a valid point that, yeah, they drafted the Micah Parsons and you mentioned Jabril Cox. They have these guys that they brought in. But think about if for some reason or hopefully they start playing to that level where everyone was like anointing these guys to the greatest linebacker tandem ever for the Cowboys. If one of those guys can revert back to that and just get some of that production, because I think they may still be able to attain that. I mean, only both of them, because what you said, and maybe we've mentioned this when they drafted these guys, that maybe it's going to make them like, look, I'm looking over my shoulder now and I got to play better than those. And look, I think, you know, Leighton, all his is predicated off injuries, right? I mean, he's been dinged up for the last 2 years. So I don't think if we can just get one of those guys to revert back to where they played early on in their careers and get that kind of production, that's creating a lot of buzz and creating a lot of playmaking for this defense.
Totally. And again, I'm not against that, right? Like I'm not like if the choice is they can play well or not play well, no times am I choosing them to not.
But let's just tap the brakes a little. Let's play this time. Look at it this way. The guys that, you know, Micah Parsons, yeah, a lot of projections. They've got a lot of potential. He's still going to be a rookie. Okay.
Totally. That's fair.
And so as much as we want to just get so high on these guys, you still need the veteran leadership and guys that play the game. And so I'm not going to say that I think he's going to be a tremendous player. Right. I really do from day one, but we don't know that yet.
No,
what's the transition going to be? So that's where you need these guys, these veteran guys to, as I mentioned, revert back the way they used to play.
I agree with that. And I think that's what's so interesting about this discussion when it comes to linebackers specifically, because you know, you're right that it's so difficult to depend on a rookie anywhere. Right. But we're talking about this rookie linebacker, two of them, if you want to throw in Jabril Cox, but you know, the best version of Leighton Vander Esch was a rookie, right? Like that was his best version. And so like, it's possible, but you know, it's definitely not likely. But so, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. The last one for me, and you mentioned him, was Trayvon Diggs. And I think I honestly, he's the only defensive player I wrote about just because, you know, this team's offense is kind of their identity. But Trayvon, right now, the most reliable defensive player on the Cowboys is DeMarcus Lawrence. I know we've disagreed about him to different degrees in the past, but he's without question the best defensive player. There's no real, like, obvious number two, right? Like, if you're saying, like, okay, we're ranking the Cowboys defense, like, best players to worst players, I don't know who the obvious number two is after DeMarcus Lawrence. And maybe if, you know, Micah Parsons plays well, it's him. But I think Trayvon Diggs is in that conversation. And the whole secondary is so, not shaky, but the secondary is built on a lot of promise and a lot of projections and a lot of ideas. And so the only real point of stability it has is Trayvon Diggs. And if he can take that next step, I mean, that gives them a legitimate piece in the secondary, which is something they haven't had in a very long time.
Yeah. And look, the probably the best player we thought besides DeMarcus Lawrence is not even on the team anymore, Aldon Smith. And there's a guy last year that they brought in that hadn't played football in 5 years. So
true. If it's that easy to become number two, Trayvon Diggs can certainly do it.
Yeah. And so I think Donovan Wilson's a guy that had some promise at mm-hmm. the back end. And I think that if he continues to have this, you know, as I mentioned, the trajectory, he continues to improve and get better as he plays. I think that's, you know, it's very positive for Dallas. And so I think that's, you know, for me, I look at this defense as when you have a new defensive coordinator, you have someone that you really want to play for. I mean, it happens. It just, you get that year of just new energy and just new bravado and everything that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden things start playing. And so it's not as predictable and you really don't know what's going to happen. I think that's, you know, the thing that's exciting going the season. But in saying that, it's anyone's pick because in a way they were so bad last year.
Right.
And now I think that Micah Parsons could have a chance to be the best player on this defense this year mm-hmm. based on what we saw last year. But I think, as you mentioned, DeMarcus Lawrence, that's where it really still starts. The guy, this is his defense. He has to really ingrain that. And whoever has that role, and I don't care if it's Micah Parsons, if he's a rookie or whenever Leighton Vanders, as you mentioned, was a rookie, you don't really see, is a veteran team or is a defense in a huddle, a guy in a huddle. It's hard to like look at a rookie and like think that's the leader of our defense, but sometimes you get that command. So I think, again, as you mentioned, Trayvon Diggs and then Donovan Wilson and, you know, guys that have to evolve. I mean, it would be great to be on this defense because it doesn't matter. We can go out there and grab it myself. I don't care who you are. That's what and that's the competition of what this should be, is that I need to go and grab a hold of this. Right. I got to be the dude, the bell cow. And to me, if a defensive player, man, that's what I like because we're looking for those dudes.
It really feels to me, not trying to brag, Tony, but my golf game's been getting better as of late. No big deal. But something that's been a really weak point in my game is I'm a big slicer, like many right-handers are. And you know what that's like, you know how sometimes the slice is so bad. You got to
close that face down. You got to square it up. On it.
Well, you know what I've been doing lately? I've been flaring my left foot out and that's really been helping a lot.
Clearing the hips.
Right. But you know, like, and you know, my short game has been all right. And so like, but if you're out of the fairway, like that, you're playing from behind the whole hole. You know what I mean? Like you could have the best short game of the world, whatever. But like, if you're not in the fairway, life is difficult. And so to me, what this defense feels like is back when my slice was really bad and I was losing like 50, 70 yards off my drives because of how bad the slice was. It was like one of those holes where the wind is just howling from right to left. It's like, mm-hmm. you can hit this as hard as you want. Don't worry about the slice. Cause this wind's going to knock it back into the fairway. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how it is. Like this is open. Like just whoever wants to come, like you don't even have to be great. Like if you're just really good or kind of good, you're probably the second best player on this defense at this point. And so maybe that's Trayvon Diggs. Maybe it's Micah Parsons. You can make an argument that Micah Parsons needs to have a big season. I know we didn't put him on the list, but I mean, the Cowboys do have a lot of options at linebacker, which kind of mitigates that for me. But yeah, so overall, pretty good discussion. And my slice is going away, which is the most important thing, obviously.
Well, I know this, as much as I played golf and the longevity I played, all I know, you drive for show and you putt for dough.
Believe me.
So we're just hoping this team on defense, look, we're not expecting you to make the 30-footers, and the percentage of you making them is like really small.
Right.
But when you got those 6-footers and you got to make where it's in sight and you got to play with consistency to be good, those are the ones you got to make to win.
See, I agree with you 100%, but this is like, that's a little bit too lofty of a goal in my mind. Like for me, every time it's two putt everything. You know what I mean? Like that's all this defense has to do. If you're two putting everything, you're going to be okay. You know, that's, you're playing bogey golf. And at this point, if this defense is, you know, so to speak, playing bogey golf, that's enough for this offense to carry it overall.
I don't think so. I'm going to go with, look, you got to, I want them to shoot like maybe one or two over par.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I mean, maybe that's, but I'm just saying, if you're on the PGA tour, you should be able to shoot even par.
Okay. All right. So you're holding them to a higher standard. That's fair.
Well, compared to last year, I mean, what, let's just look at what they've, how bad they were last year.
Last year they were shooting triple digits.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, we got to play at least par golf. At least get to that point. I think you're to play par golf in the National Football League defensively, you're probably going to be ranked in the top 15 or top, maybe close to, you know, maybe the 10s, you know, hover around number 10 or 12.
10 to 15, that'll, right in there.
Yeah, that's par golf.
That early second 10, right. That's fair.
Exactly. Yeah, that'll get you, that'll win some games.
Okay. Well, that's well said. This was a lot of fun. Tony, glad you're back. Glad Mexico is great. Everything. Glad everybody listened. Thanks to all of you for listening. June continues to roll on. Tony, stay cool. It is very hot outside. We went from all the rain to all the heat. Texas is pissed off. Hopefully things start to cool off sooner rather than later. Everybody will be back next week. We love you all. This was the 750.